Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's pain-free Friday for all stolen out minutes on the mahogany. Waxing it up 100, 200. A bad seat, a broken head, a bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around. Bad actors, bad taste, bad luck, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Quicken Loan Studios in New York City. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully. Mortgage confidently. People trust the plastic bags, direct the driver, some kind of fashion, shake it up, stupid. All my friends that come around, fat to fight a party up. Brands on the way inside, bed by some time. What a man, time to tatter, and brains splattered all over Manhattan. Should it be shaka? Ooh. Are you with us tonight from New York? 855-212-4CBS. How thick was that? Jesus. God almighty. Typo negative, just going off, rocks off. Mafia gets all kinds of fired up. I don't want to be. Honest to God, that was the thickest song I've ever heard in my life. It really was. Carver Hyde, he's ready to go home after that. Mafia's like just getting started, he said. That's just the beginning, the tip of the iceberg. I'm watching the Bulls up on the Bucks, believe it or not, in Milwaukee. I can't even fathom what I'm watching. Right now, 40-27 Bulls, 11:40 left and rolling in the second, just started the second, in Brewtown. Good evening, Milwaukee. I'm also watching, for some reason, Butler and Ole Miss play college basketball. There were several games tonight of some consequence in college basketball. I mean, tons of games. I'll get to them later. But Boise's leading 14-7 in New Mexico in the second in Albuquerque. And then there was actually one other game, believe it or not, in college football. It was Memphis, SMU down in Texas, 7-3 Memphis in the second, 8.5 left. So we could actually watch some of those games. I'm not sure that I want to, however. Anyway, I was watching NBA tonight. Great game in Boston between the Celtics and Raptors. Celtics win it in overtime. 123-116. They outscored him 16-9 in the extra session. Kyrie had 43, Uncle Drew style, two rebounds, 11 dimes. Kawhi Leonard had 31 on the other side for the Raptors and 15 boards. Great game in the Garden tonight in Boston. Hello, everybody. Good evening, Boston. Pacers 99-91 over the Heat tonight in Indy. Tyreek Evans had 23, 10, and 2 dimes. Sixers come back and beat the Jazz 113-107. Jimmy Butler 28, 3, and 7 dimes. Nets 115-104 over the Wizards in D.C. Nets get it done. Dinwiddie 25, 4, and 8 dimes for the Nets. Hockey, they're playing hockey. Bruins and Stars scoreless in the third. A good one in Dallas. Sabres and Jets and Farrellipeg 1-1 in the third. Avs up on the Caps, 1-0 in the second of the Pepsi can. Knights and Blues underway, no score. And Vegas ends it at the back of the hub. Beautiful downtown, long Vegas, baby. Good evening, Las Vegas. Leafs and Ducks at the pond in Anaheim, scoreless, underway. Kings out on the Blackhawks, 1-0 at the United after two periods in the Windy City. As for those college basketball games, believe it or not, there were tons of games today. Is it like some reason? Is it like a opening week or holidays or something? I don't even know. The holidays are next week, if you ask me. It's not this week, is it? But tonight they went off. Mississippi State leads Long Beach by 6 in the second half. Kansas beat Louisiana 89-76. Virginia 97-40 over Coppin State. Mafia and I are always copping state. North Carolina 108-58 over Tennessee Tech. Kansas State 95-68 over Eastern Kentucky. Oregon beat up on Syracuse 80-65. They lost to UConn and Oregon back-to-back days. Va-Tech 88-60 over Northeastern. LSU 74-67 over Louisiana Tech. Purdue 79-58 over Davidson. And about to go at the top of the next hour, Nevada and Little Rock in Reno at the Lawler. And then UCLA at Pauley tonight against St. Francis of PA. That's among the elite in college basketball tonight. There's other games going on. Green Bay in overtime leads Eastern Washington by 3. They're about to win the game. 15 seconds left. We'll see if they can close the deal. Butler just won that game 83-76 over Ole Miss. How about our boy, the gunslinger tonight in Princeton? He's on the staff at Princeton. They're down 55-35 to Lehigh on the road. That's not going well for them. I'm just looking for any other ones that I think are worthy of Uncle Futrelli giving you. West Virginia 35-33 on Western Kentucky, the Hilltoppers. Oakland and UNLV underway in Vegas. 5-4. Again, good evening, Las Vegas. And our friends on 1140 in Cincinnati, good evening. Florida Gulf Coast over South Dakota State, 84-78. There you go. Some people are interested in these. Baylor beat up on Nichols, 81-54. Mafia, you got any Nichols in your pockets? Central Florida, 77-57 over St. Joe's. Miami of Ohio, 89-78 over North Dakota State. Missouri beat Farrellisaw State by 3. Double overtime, Baltimore County, 77-72 over Air Force. South Florida, 73-46 over Ohio. So there is heavy action. UConn lost to Iowa 91-72. Valpo over Monmouth 64-53. Rhode Island by a bucket over Harvard. Dayton by 11 over Purdue Fort Wayne. Richmond by 8 over IUPUI. Louisville 86-78 over Vermont. The Catamounts in the NIT season tip-off. Maryland beat Hofstra 80-69. Northwestern 82-54 over Binghamton. St. John's over Rutgers 84-65. Mafia, let's check the Rutgers box to see if Harper's kid is out there. He played. He had 8. How about the kid? How about the freshman? 3 of 6 from the floor with 2 boards and a steal. 8 points. Not bad. Off at a bench in 23 minutes of burn. Ron Harper's kid. Little Ronnie Harper Jr. son. Saw him play at Bosco in New Jersey, that kid. He's no joke. Believe me, you. I think that covers it. I'm pretty sure that just about does it in terms of college basketball. I thought I gave you a nice little, you know, run there of games. So there you have it. We have a lot going on. Nate Mink will join us next from Syracuse.com to talk about the Cuse game with the Irish at the Boogie Down Bronx, baseball's home office. It's a football stadium tomorrow in the Bronx. That's going to be the game of the day, if you ask me. We'll talk to Nate Mick next. And then Jamie Eisenberg at 11:03. Start calling at the top of the hour if you want to talk to Jamie. Very important. Your fantasy rosters. Who to start, who to sit, what to do, who to deal, what you need to do to win this weekend. There's a growing sense after the Packers lost that McCarthy could be fired. We'll talk about that. NFL Week 11 continues Sunday. We'll talk about all the big games. Les Miles close to a deal at Kansas. And we're just ready to rock and roll. We'll talk about any college game, any pro game, all night long. It's my last show. I'll be out next week for the week of Thanksgiving. The entire week I'll be out. So get it while you can, while it's hot. PharrellOnTheBench.com has what you want. Tons of picks and good ones. You got Saturday, Cuse, Notre Dame, Stanford, Cal, USC, UCLA, Duke, Clemson, Wisconsin, Purdue. A lot happening. Sunday, Pain Day. PharrellOnTheBench.com has everything. NFL, NBA, College Hoops, NHL, Boxing, MMA, Daily Fantasy. Sign up today. You're going to love it. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Tomorrow, I believe, is what? Episode 71 of Pharrell on the Bets, my sports betting podcast on WestwoodOnePodcast.com, iTunes, Google Play. It's everywhere. Subscribe free and follow me on Twitter at OnTheBets, WWO.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
Our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance, baby. Nate Mink is with Syracuse.com, and I know he's got to be jacked up for this game of the boogie down against Notre Dame. It's the game of the day. That's all there is to it. I think it's awesome. It's at Yankee Stadium. I say bring it on. I can't wait to see it. It's, you know, it's got all the dressings. Undefeated Notre Dame playing in New York. You got to know the Catholics are going to be out in full force, and then Syracuse is such a draw around here. It's really the only school that matters to anybody in New York. And certainly around this place, you got a bunch of Syracuse grads. But they are tough as hell. They've won four straight, and Nate joins us to talk about the game. How you doing, Nate?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. So, I think they're badass. I think Dino Babers is not long for this world at Syracuse. I think he's going to get something even bigger, believe it or not. I think he's done a hell of a job there. My question, first of all, to you is this. The only game in that four-game winning streak that I really is that impressed with was the NC State win, because I think North Carolina stinks. And at the time, I thought Wake stunk. I thought Wake looked great last week, but they really have been average at best. And then I think Louisville's awful enough to fire Petrino. So I thought against the Clemson, against good teams like Clemson and Pitt, and I think Pitt is decent. I think Clemson will beat their ass if they end up playing them in the title game. But I just think that the NC State game was the only one I was really that impressed with, was Syracuse. Are they for real or not?
I think they proved they were for real going back in late September when they had a lead on Clemson going into the fourth quarter and only sort of relented in the final minute of that game. I think that gave this group of players and this staff all the confidence in the world that they can go toe-to-toe with just about anyone in the country as long as they're healthy and as long as they're playing their game. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm with you. I think the NC State game, you know, in this four-game winning streak was, you know, probably the most impressive complete victory they put together. I mean, that was just a back-and-forth, high-level game between two really good quarterbacks, matching each other throw for throw. And then the defense in the final, you know, couple minutes of that game forced a critical turnover, and that was sort of the difference in the game. But I will say this. I think the North Carolina win at the start of this thing, coming off the back-to-back losses to Clemson and Pitt, is also another sort of seminal moment in this season, because they were on the cusp of losing that game. And then you really don't know how this season, if it's going to spiral out of control like the last few years have been for this program.
Right.
But, you know, Dino obviously made a pretty gutsy decision to bench his starting quarterback, senior starting quarterback, three-year starter Eric Dungy, insert redshirt freshman Tommy DeVito, and he was able to lead them to a double overtime victory by really tossing, a game-tying touchdown in the last 5 minutes of the game. So, you know, for them to pull that game out of their, you know what, you know, I think was just showed the signs of growth that this program has come to make under Dino, because I don't think, you know, a year or two ago they would have won that North Carolina game.
I think you're right. I forgot that was double oats. I got to tell you, that was impressive. I thought the Clemson game was really impressive, so I didn't want to feel like I had dissed them and think that they're not good. I just, in the games against good teams, the one that had impressed me was the NC State game. But the North Carolina game, I would agree with you. That was a clutch decision by Dino, and it could have they could have either sank or swim right there their season. You're right. It was a crucial moment. But let me ask you this. When they beat Clemson, what was that, last year they beat them?
Yes.
That was the greatest win for them in 25 years, if you ask me. Do you think that they can do this to Notre Dame tomorrow? Do you think that they could do the same thing that they did to Clemson? Do they have another one in them?
I think they're more than capable of it, because I think, you know, this team has been the one thing that Dino has been striving for, has been looking for since he arrived here at the head of the start of the 2016 season, and that's consistency. And if you look at you know, their season this year, they've been really consistent in a few really important areas. Number one, they're turning teams over at a very high level. I think they're top five in the country in forcing turnovers. They're top five in the country in turnover margins. That means they're valuing the ball, they're protecting the football, and they're able to steal some of those extra possessions away from teams. And that's so important for the type of tempo offense that they're running. I also think, you know, their special teams play has been lights out. They have one of the best kickers in the country. They have one of the best punters in the country. So they're really doing a nice job winning the field position battle and getting good, you know, starting positions on their drives. And I think, you know, those two areas, you know, if you want to look deeper into some position groups, their defensive line has been outstanding all season. They've been healthy for the first time in a while. That's really the unit that's played the major hand in forcing these turnovers. And on the other side of the ball, the offensive line is actually on the field as a cohesive unit. They're big, they're older, they're more experienced, and they're able to now run the ball and provide more offensive balance to their offense. Whereas in the first couple of seasons under Dino, they've been more of a pass-heavy offense. Now they're able to run the ball when they need to run the ball to complement that passing game.
Wow. So Nate Mink with us from Syracuse.com. So let me ask you this. They score so much. Like, you talked about him going toe for toe with these guys in these games, as Dungy's able to do. They put up some massive points this year. I mean, 55, 62, 51, 44, 40, 51, 41, 54. I mean, is that not going to be a problem for Notre Dame? Do you think they can handle what Syracuse is about to unleash on them? Do they respect that they score a lot?
I think so. I mean, they've been over 50 points in almost half their games this season. And I think that if you go back, Clemson is probably the best case sort of case study here. I mean, Clemson obviously has a very, very talented defensive front and overall defense. And they were able to really, you know, stop Syracuse at scrimmage when they needed to. You know, Syracuse had a handful of, you know, third and twos, third and threes in that game where they just couldn't move the ball on the ground and convert those into first downs. And then so they, you know, their offense stalled at times. They've, you know, for, against most other defenses in the country, they've been able to extend drives and really, you know, keep their foot on the gas pedal. You know, Notre Dame, I think, you know, they have a really, really talented defensive front. Obviously, there's Jerry Tillery in the middle of that defensive line. And then you supplement that with a lockdown corner in Julian Love, who's an All-America type player. You know, this is, I think, going to be by far the best defense Syracuse has faced since that Clemson defense in late September. But there's no doubt that, you know, this is an offense that can put up points. Like I said, they're forcing turnovers at one of the highest levels in the country, and that's giving this offense extra possessions to score more points and drive up those point totals that we've seen this year. But, you know, I'll be honest with you, they are not there yet on offense, believe it or not. For as gaudy as some of those point totals are, they leave a lot of points on the field at times. I mean, they settled for a lot of field goals. I think their field goal kicker has kicked something like 20. He's made like 25 of 27 field goals on the season, something in that range. So they're kicking a lot of field goals. And if those are turning to touchdowns as they want them to be, I mean, yeah, I mean, this could look pretty ugly on the scoreboard if they get this thing rolling to the level they want it to get it rolling at.
Nate Mink, do they feel disrespected because they're 10.5-point dogs? Now, I know they'll act like they don't know about all that stuff or care about all that stuff or talk about all that stuff, but that's a bunch of crap. You know it, and I know it, that everyone's talking about this game, and they're double-digit 10.5-point dogs, and meanwhile, they're 8-2, and they you know, kick everyone's teeth in that they play. Do they feel disrespected completely going into this game?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I think they are well aware of the point spread, and they don't hide from that. I mean, Dino openly acknowledges that in some of his weekly press conferences, like, oh, you know, we opened as a 10-point dog or something like that. You know, so they know what, you know, Vegas and most people think is going to happen here on Saturday, but they've been so good at really just locking in week to week and just really trying to win each game. And you know, they like to say they're 4-0 in the second half of their schedule, and they have an opportunity to go 5-0 this week. And, you know, that, I think that's a smart approach. And yeah, I mean, I think, you know, this is a team that, you know, they've been big underdogs in the past. I mean, they've been 20-plus point underdogs when they upset Virginia Tech in 2016, and obviously when they upset Clemson a year ago in the Carrier Dome. Now they have to be able to do it on the road or on a neutral field. But, you know, yeah, I mean, I think they are seasoned enough. They have enough older players on this roster to know that, yeah, maybe not many people are giving them a chance to win, but, you know, it's not first time they've been in this position, and, you know, they love to prove people wrong. That's sort of the MO for this group.
So let me ask you lastly, respectfully, I got 1 minute. If they beat Notre Dame and BC on the road in Chestnut Hill, how fast do you think it'll be before Dino Babers has every major college football offer in the country on his doorstep?
I mean, why wouldn't it be that way now? I mean, I think, you know, it's not like he needs to beat Notre Dame and BC to sort of garner the respect from other people nationally. I think they're well aware of who he is and what he's done at Syracuse. I mean, this is the first time they've been ranked since 2001. And, you know, I think he really opened a lot of people's eyes last year on Friday the 13th when he upset Clemson. And then to see them take that next step this year and, again, show that consistency and show that they're not just a one-hit wonder. You know, I think ADs around the country have known about Dino for a long time, and now, you know, they think he's a guy. I think that it is obviously very coveted.
You think he'll stay or go?
You know, I think a lot depends on the admin at some of these schools that are courting him. You know, I think he has shown that he takes sort of a smart, you know, big picture look at things. He's not a guy that's just going to take dollar signs. I think at the end of the day, he wants to be at a place where he can win a national championship. And I really think he feels that, you know, he's in a division in the ACC Atlantic, that if he wins that division, he's going to have a chance to be in the playoff and compete for a national championship.
Wow, that's awesome. Listen, Nate, have a good time at the game. It should be awesome. Thanks for coming on CBS Sports Radio. Enjoy Notre Dame and Syracuse. Good luck.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Nate Mink of Syracuse.com.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
I mean, here's to guessing. I was watching the end of that Knicks game. I'm guessing that they lost.
They
did lose. God almighty. 129-124 Pelicans.
But that's a good thing. Honestly, they give you again tonight what you should want every single night from them. They played hard the whole game, had the lead for pretty much the whole thing, and then lost the lead in the last 2 or 3 minutes of the game and got the loss. Because this season for the Knicks is about losses. It's great that they're playing hard, too. If they were giving you no effort in losing, it's good that they'd be getting the loss, but you'd be like, why am I watching this? You're watching the game. They're playing hard. There's maybe some guys you can build with for the future. And if you keep losing, you can get that one really big piece.
Zion.
Exactly. So this is, I think, and this isn't just tonight. This has been a lot of Knick games this year.
Right. It has. They look good tonight, though. I was watching the game. Believe me, you. I thought they played pretty well. I want to look at the box. Obviously, I saw some mismatch problems against the big fella. He had 43 and 17, so I guess I was right about that. I saw some mismatches where they were trying to stop, Anthony Davis. 43, 17, 5 dimes, a steal, and a block. That guy's a freak in 40 minutes.
The mismatch is like everybody on the Knicks roster. There's not a single guy on that team that could guard him.
Well, I mean, it really was bad. They had Vonleh on him, and, you know, it's just they can't stop him. I thought Trey Burke looked good in the game. He had 24 on 10 of 13 shooting. I thought he was really impressive. Hardaway had 30, but he chucks a lot. 9 of 23 is, you know, 4 of 12 from downtown. 8 boards, 2 assists. So he got 30 the hard way by chucking. You see the difference? Trey Burke had 24 on 13 shots. He made 10 of them, right? And 3 of 5 from the line. Hit 1-3. That's a very just beautiful game. In 26 minutes, that guy was efficient, and he put up huge numbers and total high percentages. And then Hardaway is shooting garbage, 9 of 23, if you ask me. And then, I mean, it's not the worst thing I've ever seen, but it's not that great, right? 4 of 12 from downtown. That's missing, you know, 8 threes, right? I mean, you shoot enough of them, you're going to score a couple, I guess. But the only thing I thought he did really well was free throws and rebounding and the 2 steals. But I'm not going to deny 30's solid. Moutier had 19. Knox had 11 on 4 of 9, 3 of 6 from downtown. Old one, 5 rebounds, 2 dimes of steal. I got to tell you, the hype on him, you know, going into the season, the kid out of Kentucky, their first rounder, he's averaging 9 and less than a dime a game and, you know, just under 2 rebounds a game. So, you know, he had 11 tonight. That's good for him. He was averaging 9-2. He does better in losses, 10-7. So far, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world. 9-9-3, I'll take it. But, like, I watched him play, right? And he turned his ankle, remember, like 3 or 4 weeks ago. I think he's been, let's just say, kind of invisible. unimpressive. You remember when he was in summer league dominating and they were writing about him like he was Patrick Ewing? I mean, honestly, they were. They were talking about him being the savior, right? Like, I mean, I just think he's kind of been pedestrian. Is that fair to say? Am I cool with that? Like, I'm not that impressed with him so far. I want to see all this greatness, which, you know, they were labeling him greatness in the summer league, right? That he was the greatest thing since sliced bread. I haven't seen that at all. But I'll give you this. He's playing decent. 12 in Toronto, 17 against Orlando, 15 against Oak City, 11 tonight. Those are good numbers. I'll give you that. So you've given him, you know, somewhere between 10 and 15 shots a game. The kid can put it in. So maybe just he's averaging around, you know, 20-plus minutes. In the Oak City game, they gave him 29, 26 in the Orlando game, 24 in the Toronto game, 21 tonight. So you only play him 21 minutes, and he's giving you almost 10 points. That's really good work if you can get it, right? If you play 20 minutes and give you an average 9.5, 10 points, that's solid. I'll give you that. I told you, I have no problem with 10, 7, and 7 with Lonzo Ball and a bad knee last year either. Those are good numbers for a rookie, if you ask me. 855-212-4CBS. Joey in South Carolina, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, man. Love the show.
Thanks,
right,
dude.
So, hey, Tatum, Kyrie, Jason Hayward. Hey, man, listen, no one picked them to beat Toronto tonight. I did. You can't come into the Garden and just beat up on the Celtics like that. So I took them. Listen, I'm South Carolina, not a big basketball state, but I love them. Also, Clemson going to beat Alabama by 14 points. You heard it here first. Love your show. Thanks, sir.
All right, thanks. That's not happening. And then going back to the Celtics, I don't think that they've been invincible at all, to be honest with you. I thought tonight in overtime a very nice win. You know, they beat the Bulls there. They beat the Bucks there by 4. They beat the Pistons there by 3. They lost to the Magic there by 3. They beat the Sixers in opening night 105-87. So, I mean, bottom line is they win at home. We know that. You're right about that, that they're tough at home. I think they've been okay at best. I thought tonight was their best game, you know, in terms of their psyche. Because when they played, like the Nuggets, the Pacers, they lost. They beat the Bucks. I'm cool with that. They lost to the Jazz, lost to the Blazers. These things are insignificant. You can't lose to the Magic at home. But I still think they're, you know, okay. They're right where they need to be. I'm not worried about it. I talked to somebody about it today. I was talking about the Celtics today. I was talking about Hayward today again off the air, and somebody was asking me what I thought of him. And really his answer to the whole thing was they still got like almost 70 games left, right? I mean, literally. You know, it's actually less than that, but what if they played 15 games? So you got 80, you know, you're playing 80-plus games. So it's a very long season, and they're right where they need to be. All things being equal, Toronto, Boston, and Philly are all going to end up being good. In fact, I don't even think Brooklyn's that bad, to be honest with you. I think Brooklyn's almost like a 500-type team, you know, maybe a few games under. You're talking maybe, like, I could think maybe 35 wins for them. I could actually see them doing that, believe it or not. But I think Boston will be fine. They'll be in the playoffs. They're going to be in the Eastern Conference semis at the worst. A lot of people think they'll be in the Eastern Conference finals at the worst. A lot of people think, on top of that they'll be in the NBA Finals. We saw tonight that they can beat Toronto at the Garden. I think it'll be crucial who has the seventh game of a series in the home court in a Eastern Conference Final. I really believe that'll be an important factor in this season, and you're going to want to catch Toronto. They can still do that. Toronto's slipping all of a sudden. They've dropped 3, but that's a good basketball team. And, you know, I think Kawhi Leonard makes him very dangerous. The thing about him is, as I watch him play, and he had big numbers tonight again. They lost, but it's irrelevant to me. He had 31, 15, and 4. The guy, absolutely, his arms go down literally to his shins. Have you ever seen anything like it? Like, the guy, he's not even that tall, but he's got these long-ass arms that literally go below his knees. And he can absolutely work you from anywhere. If he drives across the paint, he can shovel scoop a basket from the floor up to the backboard. Have you ever seen a guy use the kiss? The guy will go down to the ground and flick it up off of the glass. No one can block his shot. He's got these long-ass arms, and he looks like an airplane. And he shoots, like, in the from the elbows, anywhere from the elbows or the wing. Forget it. He makes shots. He can shoot on the baseline on a spin down, post up, spin back on the baseline, and step back pop as good as anyone in the NBA. And so can Kyrie Irving. I mean, Kyrie Irving, Uncle Drew's got the same game, 43 tonight. He can hit from anywhere, floating, stopping, popping, step back, driving. He's got English City off the kiss. He can make it, you know, jimmy it off the glass from both sides. He's got every flick, finger roll, move in the lane. He can shovel shoot, raindrop, teardrop. He can do it all. So can Kawhi Leonard. And one guy doesn't have Kawhi Leonard's body. I mean, Kyrie doesn't have that body. He's got explosiveness, best handle, fastest drop step, gone, bullet to the rim game. And the other guy's got these long-ass arms and can work you and just step right in your face and stick a J over you because he's got – when he reaches up and he jumps, when he shoots, he's literally mafia. He's a lot like – so Durant's like 7 foot and shoots down. This guy goes up like he's, you know, almost 7 foot, right? He jumps up. And then he's got these long-ass arms. So when he releases the ball, he's 7 foot when he jumps. His legs are so powerful. He's over at a quad injury. When he jumps, he releases the ball, Mafia. He's literally 7 feet in the air. That's why no one stops Kawhi Leonard from having 30-point nights.
Yeah, it surprised me because, you know, we've talked about Gordon Hayward coming back from his injury. And other guys that have had, you know, these leg injuries, that they're slow when they come back. They don't have the same ability. I mean, maybe that extra time, it was ridiculous how long he was out in the whole battle with the Spurs last year, but that extra time has seemed to give him a full recovery because he looks like he never left the court the way he's played for Toronto so far this year.
And he plays defense and gets steals and makes them get transition buckets like nobody's business. Now I want to remind everybody to start calling now for Jamie Eisenberg. Corn dog. We're going to do fantasy football with Jamie Eisenberg next. So what you do is start calling now, 855-212-4CBS, to talk to Jamie. He's better than you at running a fantasy football team. He'll help you fix your team. He'll help you win this weekend. And that's all there is to it. Call now. Get online. Put yourself in position. We'll get you on with Jamie. You can ask him anything you want. He'll answer you and help you out. It's a beautiful thing. I don't know how many segments we're doing with him tonight. It all depends on if you fems call. I'm not messing around. If you don't call, then we're not doing two. If you call, we'll do two. Remember, if you call, we'll do two. If you don't call, we'll do one. So either get on a horse or go sit on the deck and drink beer.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.